I love this church. I love the people in this church. Praise the Lord. Merry Christmas, everyone. Amen. To everyone that's watching, wherever you're watching this, Grace Revolution Church in Dallas, to one and all, a blessed Christmas to you and your family. In Jesus' name. Amen. He is the reason that we are gathered and we celebrate this wonderful occasion. Praise the Lord. Y'all took some time to greet one another, because the next 5 hours of my preaching, you need to be, you'll be seated with the person. Okay, just relax, okay? I preach long, but not 5 hours. Hey, guys, once again, Christmas is here. Do you feel like the year has passed so fast? Like time is accelerating? I feel like we need to make our mark for Jesus while we still can. Everything that's happening in the world today, let me just take some time to just say this. It's a wonderful, glorious occasion, but we are not unaware, but we are fully cognizant with what is happening in the world lately, all over the world. And I got some news for you. It's going to get worse. On this special occasion, on this joyous occasion, let me announce to you, Jesus said, in the world you shall have trouble. He said that before he comes again, nation will rise against nation. There'll be great earthquakes. Great earthquakes is more than 7 on the Richter scale. We have never seen great earthquakes like we have seen in our generation. It's back to back now, almost daily, somewhere in the world. The Bible says famines. Agnos against agnos in the Greek, which means race riots. We thought we overcame that some years ago, but no, it's going to happen again. And the whole world's focus will be on Israel. Now, what we are seeing happen right now is that 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, even Marco Polo said that when he went through Israel, it's just a dead land, malaria infested. If you don't believe the Bible, just look at Israel today, a tiny nation from where our Lord was born and came to and ministered and where he ascended. That nation of Israel is a testimony that God is alive. Amen. Amen. And living in the midst of all kinds of opposition against them, yet God has preserved them. Amen. I want to share you a story that goes all the way back to Bethlehem in Israel. And Jesus said that before he comes again, you must understand his first coming. When he comes again, he's going to come to rescue Israel from all the nations of the earth. For he's the true king of Israel. When he was born, from the lineage of 2 sons of David. He's the only one that has a rightful claim to the throne of David. And when he comes again, he's going to come as king of Israel. But he's going to judge the world. Listen, we won't be here. Long before this happens, we'll be raptured. The Bible talks about a harpazo in the Greek, a snatching away of the church, of the bride. Amen. In the Middle East, many years ago, during the time of the Bible, they would come and snatch their bride. You never know when the bridegroom is coming. He may come at night, he may come in the daytime, but they have this culture of snatching the bride. Amen. To bring him to his home. So, the Lord Jesus is going to snatch his bride long before the earth goes berserk. Amen. And we are already seeing the birth pangs, the travail happening already. So let me just tell you this, whatever happens in the world, you can have hope. Because you have the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the King of Israel. When he comes again, all Israel will be saved. The Bible tells us. But they'll go through a lot. But at the right time, before the nations surround them, before they could be destroyed. They cannot be destroyed because God's hand is on them. He's going to return. But let's talk about the first coming of Christ. When he came as a baby, he came to bring us grace. Say grace. Grace is something that the world cannot understand. They think that Christianity is a religion. You know, you do certain things, you do certain worship, then you reach God. It's like you go up the stairs, you know, you do penance, you do certain things, then one day you come to a place where God accepts you. Nothing could be further from the truth. God came down to where we were. And some people have a problem thinking that, how can you say that Jesus is a man, but you call him, he's also God? No, the problem is not that you think that Jesus is a man who calls himself God. The thing is this, he's the God who became man. For man to become God is impossible. Let me ask you a question. Can God become a man? Supposing that I take a walk in the park, Wendy and I, and another couple, and two ants going for a walk in the park. They're dating. And I happen to step on one of them, all right? And he's dead. I didn't mean to kill him. Y'all don't look at me like that. You have done it also. Many of you, you have done it on your way here. Amen? And the other end is scurrying away, all right? And I'm trying to say, hey, I didn't mean to kill your boyfriend. I really didn't see him and all that. She wouldn't be able to understand. It's a she. Won't be able to understand what in the world I'm talking about unless, because we are different life form. I'm too high. My life form is too high for the ant to understand me. So the ant only responds with fear. If I can become an ant, just for a while, maybe the ant will know my heart. Amen. The Bible says that when he was born, his name was called Emmanuel. Amen. The prophecy of Isaiah, one of his name is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Amen. In Luke 2, the Bible tells us, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let me just tell you this, that Mary was probably about 14, 15 years old. And she had no help. You know, for her to travel all the way from Nazareth, because there was a census taken during the time of Augustus. And the Bible says that when that decree was done for taxation purpose, it's not so much for taxation at that time, but they wanted all the Roman provinces, at that time Israel was under the Roman rule, to register their names based on their lineage, based on their tribe, based on their family inheritance. So, Joseph being from the royal line of David, Mary, Joseph can be traced back all the way to Solomon. Mary can be traced back to Nathan. Both are the sons of David. So, the Lord Jesus has a double claim on the throne of David. But they were in Nazareth at that time when the census was decreed by the Emperor of Rome. They had to make, and Mary was advanced at that time. Do you know that she had to make a 75-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem? About 75, 76 miles. Now, there are two Bethlehems at that time, even today. The other one is seldom heard. But Bethlehem, Judah, is the one we are talking about. There's another Bethlehem in Galilee, just 7 miles from Nazareth. That is nearer, actually. But she took a 75-mile journey all the way to Bethlehem, Judah, Bethlehem Ephratah, because it was ordained by God, and God spoke to the mouth of Micah the prophet, O thou Bethlehem Ephratah, out of you will come the ruler of Israel, whose foregoings have been foretold of old. That's in Micah, prophet Micah, long before Christ was born. And she had no help when she was giving birth. She had no help except for Joseph. I believe that she washed her baby. She bathed him. I believe that she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Even when Israel was in slavery in Egypt, the Bible tells us those slave women actually had midwives, Hebrew midwives, to help them. But Mary had none. She was all by herself. Many of you ladies can appreciate that. You know, being a young girl, never before, you know, having given birth. In fact, the Bible says she's a virgin. Prophet Isaiah gave gave a sign. He said, the Lord will give you a sign. A virgin will bring forth a son. Why a virgin? Well, we're going to talk about the blood. God made man with blood. I have blood. You've got blood. God doesn't have blood. God made man blood. In fact, when God made man, God called man blood man. Amen. Adam. The word dam is blood in Hebrew. So Adam means literally blood man. The ground from where God took his body from, all right? God made, that's why when you die, they say dust to dust because you go back to the dust. But that's not the real you. The real you is a spirit. And when God made man like a, you know, from the dust of the ground, like a house. He was not mobile. Sorry, mannequin. He's like a mannequin, right? But God breathed into man and man became a living soul. So that part of man is, that breath came from God and cannot die. So when your heart stops beating, your heart is part of your body, you actually step out of your house. Amen. Now, whether you are housed from then on in heaven or your house in eternal darkness, in hell, the Bible tells us, that's the reason Jesus came. Because that part of you cannot die. Amen. You are eternal. Are you listening? God never made hell for man. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus says, all right, hell was made for the devil and his angels. But if God extends to you his salvation and you slap his hands, I don't need your love. I don't need your salvation. I can manage. All right? Then you have chosen your destiny. Amen. The reason God sent his son is because, in fact, if you drop down, it says there were shepherds in the field that night. An angel of the Lord came and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, in the royal city, a Savior. I love to say this, a Savior, not a lawgiver. A Savior, not a judge. In Hebrew, literally, that's his name, Jesus, Yeshua, Savior. The angel literally says, there is born to you this day in the city of David, Yeshua, Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, if you say, I got nothing to be, you know, I'm cool, Pastor, I got nothing to save in me, then all I can say is this, one day you'll wake up and realize that one sin to God is worse than a lot of sins. So the problem is this, when we look at a prostitute, when we look at people who are drug peddlers, when we look at the terrorists, we see they are big sinners. And no doubt, their sins is great. But I tell you this, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And one sin is enough to send us to hell. So when God pronounced the name Yeshua, Jesus, he was safe. We don't need another law. The law cannot save us. How many of you have kept the Ten Commandments? Not outwardly, inwardly as well. Amen. How many of you not committed adultery? Maybe you say, I've never committed adultery, Pastor. But in your mind, in your heart, have you ever lusted? The Lord Jesus says, if you have lusted, you have committed adultery. Amen. We put sin outside. The Lord puts sin inside. All of us have sinned. In that way, in all of us, we need a Savior. Amen. Come on. The Lord Jesus says, you call a brother in anger, you fool, you'll be in danger of hellfire. We say that thou shalt not kill. As long as you don't take a knife, you plunge it to someone, that's murder. No, the Lord says, if you hate someone, you wish him dead, you wish her dead, that's murder. So he takes it inward. That makes all of us, in fact, all of us, broke the Ten Commandments. Preach it, man. That's good preaching. So all of us, hey, listen, this is the good news. Therefore, all of us qualify. If we are all sinners, amen, then we all qualify for the Savior. Jesus said one time when they asked Jesus, why do you eat with publicans, the tax collectors for the Roman Empire, all right? They were tax collectors. He was eating with them and he was eating with prostitutes and all that. And they said, you know, the Pharisees, they have this holier-than-thou attitude. Why do you eat with them? All right? It's almost like, don't you know they are dirty and we are clean? You should be spending time with us. The Lord says, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then he said this, those who are well don't need a doctor. It's those who are sick. So if the truth is known, all of us are sick. We do not know it. You know, people who have outward sin, many of them, they are the first to see his grace. They are the first to see him as savior. But those of us with cultured sins, you know, we don't let it out. We are too smart to let it out. We just watch it behind closed doors. Amen, Pastor Prince. All right? So what I'm trying to say is that all of us qualify for the Savior. If you are a sinner, you qualify. You're entitled to him and all that he has done for you. Can I have a good amen, people? Amen. And the Bible says, go back to Mary again, wrapping me in swaddling clothes. Now, the word swaddling clothes is so beautiful. It reminds me of what the Lord said to Job. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And God said to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When I wrapped the earth with swaddling cloth, swaddling bands of darkness. He who swaddled the earth is now swaddled as a baby. Amen. The God of eternity confined himself in time. Amen. The Bible says all things are upheld by Christ, by the Messiah, by the Lord Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He upholds everything, and now he's upheld by the weak arms of a young virgin. Why the need for a virgin birth? Well, this goes back to the first prophecy of the entire Bible. After Adam and Eve sinned against God, God said to the snake, the snake was possessed by Satan, all right? And in those days, the snake was upright. This is the reason why when you see your Nat Geo and all that, why he's slithering right now with forked tongue and why he has no more legs. Amen. Because he allowed himself to be possessed by Satan, and Satan, through the snake, tempted Adam and Eve, and they fell. They gave God up for a piece of fruit. Now, God cannot just come in and say, slap the devil and say, you stop taking the apple. But it's apple or whatever you want to call it. It got stuck here, right? That's why I'm covering it today. Now, if God stopped them, then God is not respecting man's free choice. For free choice to be free choice, it's got to be free. If you ask the question, why did God plant that tree of knowledge of good and evil, knowing that it's not good for man? Amen. But actually, God made everything, and everything was good. What God made was good. Everything was good. Even that tree. But it's not good for man. But God said it's good. Amen. Right? But it's not good for man. Now, if God gives you free choice, but there is no exercise of your free choice is not free choice. So of all the wonderful trees, God has to plant one tree and tell men not to eat from that tree. But look at the abundance of the entire planet Earth belongs to just this couple. No billionaire can compare with them. Amen? But the devil tempted them to have that one fruit. So all mankind fell. From then on, sin is in our nature. The moment the child is born, the child is innocent, but there is sin in the child. You don't have to teach a child to lie. The child knows how to lie. Amen. So the first prophecy was this in Genesis. God spoke to the snake and God says, I'll put enmity between you and the woman. Christ elevated women. He talked to that Samaritan woman that no one wanted to talk to. Amen. The first evangelist that saw him rise from the dead was a woman. She was probably a former prostitute. Well, we know the Bible says Jesus cast seven devils out of her. Amen. Now, the Lord says, I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Now, right here, you see the virgin birth because a woman does not have seed. The man has seed. But God said to the devil, I'll put enmity between your seed and her seed. Are you listening, people? God is prophesying the virgin birth, that from the woman will come the crusher of the serpent's head, the restorer of mankind. Amen. The deliverer and the hope of Israel. He shall crush your head. All right. The Lord will crush the devil's head. And that's what happened at the cross. And you will crush his heel. So in crushing the devil's head, all right, to save us, he got injured, of course. And that's what happened at the cross. but the devil's head is crushed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now watch this. Then the battle starts. If you're wondering what is happening, why all this chaos and all that, man fell. So Adam became mortal. All right. So the Eve, they live hundreds of years, but their body was decaying. In those days, they lived hundreds of years. There was still that remnant of life. And then they had sons, Cain and Abel, right? Now, what happened was this. The devil is not omniscient. God is omniscient. When you follow God, you're following someone who knows the beginning from the end. Can I have a good amen? But if you follow the devil, he knows nothing. He can only take what God gives and perverts it. Every good thing that you think the devil has, all right, it's just a perversion of the greatest gift that God has. Amen. In fact, there's no good thing the devil can give you. Amen. He has a trap behind you. He'll give you the cheese, but there's a big trap. Amen. Waiting. When God gives you, he gives you freely. Hallelujah. Then begins the battle. Devil thought maybe it's Cain, maybe it's Abel. Then the Bible says they both worshiped God. But one worshiped God the way God wanted. He brought the blood of the lamb. Amen. He brought the blood of the lamb. Now, if you're a sinner, you bring the blood of the lamb, an innocent lamb. What are you saying? You are saying, I'm supposed to die, but I put my hand on this lamb. In other words, I'm identifying with this innocent lamb. This innocent lamb will take all my sins, and I will take all his innocence, his righteousness. Amen. Can I have a good amen? Then the blood of the lamb is killed in your place. That's what Abel did. Abel acknowledged he's a sinner in need of forgiveness. Amen. Therefore, the blood was there before God. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Blood means there is judgment already. Amen. But Cain, his brother, brought the produce of his efforts. Man is so boastful. Man is so proud. They always boast about their own efforts, their own achievement. Amen. So he didn't bring blood. Amen. He brought his own salad dressing to God, and God rejected him. The moment God accepted Abel and rejected Cain, the devil thought that the woman's seed was Abel. So the devil instigated Cain to kill Abel because he's the woman's seed. That's what he thought. Amen. Was he the one? Of course, he's not the one. But the moment he saw that he was accepted by God because of the blood sacrifice, he thought he was the one. He instigated his brother through jealousy and bitterness and anger to kill his brother Abel. Amen. Then something very interesting happened after his brother died. There's a first murder in the Bible. It's very interesting. The first murder in the Bible is not over another woman. The first murder in the Bible is actually over approach to God. One believes we can do nothing but God's grace alone. The other one says, I will do my best and God has to accept what I give him. Are you listening? Some of the greatest atrocities that's happening in the world today are people who believe they are serving God. They will kill you in the name of God. Are you listening? So it goes back to the first murder. Now, something very interesting about blood. God said to Cain, Cain, where is your brother? He says, am I my brother's keeper? What a way to talk to God. If I am God, oh man. If I am God, I'll say, hey, Cain, where are you, Cain? Yo. Just a cough. Aren't you glad God is merciful? It's not like us. In fact, God told him, if you offer well, in the Hebrew, if you offer well, will you not be received? Why not just offer the lamb like your brother did? And now accept that. But I cannot accept. I'm a righteous God. I cannot accept any other ground, all right, then blood. Blood sacrifice. Are you listening, people? Because blood means an innocent has died for the guilty. Therefore, the guilty is accepted in the stead of the innocent. Can I have a good amen, people? And then God said something very profound to Cain. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Blood has a voice. The first thing you need to know, by the way, is the first occurrence of the word blood in the Bible, and first occurrence always has something important. The first thing about blood is that it has a voice. It's a voice that God understands. God ordained blood. When God made man, like I said, with blood. He called him Adam, which means dumb is Hebrew for blood. Amen. And there's a voice in the blood. So even though Abel is dead, his blood cries out for vengeance. His blood cries out, avenge me. Avenge me of my adversary. Are you listening, people? Amen. Today, we know that at a crime scene, the DNA testing can, in fact, from the blood of the perpetrator, they can tell, all right, who is the guilty one, right? Correct? Now, even then, in the natural, because of DNA testing and all that, we know that it has a certain kind of voice, but this is more than that. This is the voice that speaks to God. Are you listening? Now, the Bible says when Jesus shed his blood, amen, this is what Hebrews tells us, that to Jesus, the mediator, the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. When he shed his blood speaks of forgiveness for the sinner. I'm dying for the sinner. I'm taking his place. And his blood cries out for mercy. His blood cries out for forgiveness for the sinner. His blood cries out for blessings on the head of the sinner. His blood cries out for reconciliation for the sinner to a holy God. His voice cries out for restoration. Amen? His blood speaks better things. But if Jesus, now you must understand one thing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Bereshit bara Elohim. The Bible says in Hebrew. Now, Elohim is plural. You can ask your Jewish friends. Elohim is plural. Singular is Eloah. Elohim is plural. Now, you don't say there are three gods. There's only one God. Are you listening? Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. Triunity. One God. Echad. Echad can be united whole, which means three persons, one God. Elohim is plural, bara is singular. The triune God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. There are no three gods, one God. Are you listening? But the Son came. Amen. The God so loved the world, He gave His Son. His Son died for our sins, and now His blood cries out for your forgiveness, your reconciliation. It speaks better things than that of Abel. If God withheld His Son, listen carefully, if God withheld His Son, then there'll be no blood shedding for us. All the blood of lambs and goats cover sins, or the bullock even, cover sins only for 1 year. It's like cover sins for 1 year, 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. But the blood of Jesus removes sins for all eternity. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Now sit back and watch this. This is what they do in the Old Testament. Amen. There's a picture here of how important the blood sacrifice is. Now, when I have sinned, listen carefully, I bring a lamb. I bring a lamb to the tabernacle, okay? And the priest represents God. He represents God in the Holy of Holies. That's where God dwelt in those days. Amen. In the Holy of Holies. And he comes to the sinner who is bringing his lamb. Now, the priest who represents God, his eyes does not look at the sinner. He looks at the lamb. It's not a question of how good you are. It's a question of how good your lamb is. Are you listening, people? The lamb must be without blemish, without spot. So the priest will examine the lamb. The priest doesn't examine you. It's obvious why you are there. You have sin. In fact, the more you examine yourself, the more sins you'll find. Amen? You know, when your wife examines you, you know what happened, right? So, the priest who represents God does not examine the sinner, the offerer. He examines his offering. He examines his lamb. If the lamb is good, then he says, okay, here is the knife. You kill the lamb. In other words, you must see that it was your sins that put Christ on the cross. It was not the Roman sins. It was not the Jewish people. It is all our sins that put Christ on the cross. Can I have a good amen, people? Amen? So sit back and watch this. This is what happens. Back in those days, they'll bring the lamb to the tabernacle. The priest will examine the lamb, not the man. Okay? He examines the lamb for blemishes because it must represent Christ without blemish, sinless. Amen? He says, okay, no blemish, no spot. Now, the offerer will lay hands to identify with the spotless lamb. All his sins, all the sinner's sins, all the offerer's sins is now being transferred to the lamb. That's what laying hands means, transference, identification. And all the righteousness, all the spotlessness, all the innocence of the lamb is transferred to the sinner. Now, the lamb is like a sinner. And you kill the lamb. Amen. The lamb dies in your place on the bronze altar. The four corners represents the cross. And that's what our Lord Jesus did when he died on the cross. Amen. He took our place. And this man walks away with the favor of God, the grace of God, the light of God, and the blessings of God shining on him, as if he is the one, as if he's all righteous, but he is righteous in the eyes of God because it's imputed righteousness. Amen. The lamb did not deserve to die. The lamb is innocent. The man deserves to die. You and I, we deserve to die. Amen. And no amount of political correctness and argument with God can change the holiness of God. All right? Redefinition of terms don't amount to a hill of beans with God. Sin is sin. Amen. So when you identify with the lamb, it's like you transfer your sins into the innocent lamb. The spotlessness and righteousness of the lamb is transferred to you. Amen. The lamb is killed, but it's killed in your place. So when he's dying on the altar, he died and they offer him on the altar, you can walk away saying, that's my death. That's my punishment. Amen. And you walk away as if you are righteous in the eyes of God, you are now. Amen. So that's what happened at the cross. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus knew no sin, Paul said. Paul is a man of intelligence. He said that Jesus knew no sin. Peter was a man of action. He said he did no sin. Amen. John, a man of the heart, says in him is no sin. Even Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor that presided over the case of Jesus, told the Pharisees and told the religious leaders, I find no fault in him. Even the one who betrayed him, Judas, said, I have betrayed innocent blood. The centurion at the foot of the cross, when he saw the way Jesus died, he never saw a criminal die that way. Amen. He gave a shout and bowed down his head, gave up the spirit. He never saw death like that. On the cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. He never saw a criminal like that. Amen. When he died, he said, certainly, this was the Son of God. Amen. Are you listening? Even his critics, even his, no one can put a finger and say you have sinned. The only sin that they say that he did was to blaspheme. But why is that such a wonder that God become a man? Why is it a wonder to you? If God loves you, he'll become a man. And the nation he came to was Israel. But for the most part, many of them did not see that. Amen. Their blindness is temporal, the Bible says. Because one day it'll be lifted and they will see him when he comes. Are you listening, people? And he's coming. Hallelujah. All right, praise the Lord. And this is what the Passover is all about. On the day of the Passover, you all saw the movie, the Charlton Heston movie. Amen. 10 Commandments. All right. What they do is that God said, tonight, the angel of death is going to pass over the land of Egypt. God told his people, Israel, I want you to take a lamb for a house. And if the house is too small, share it with the other house. I love it. The Bible doesn't say that the lamb is too small. It's always, the supply from God is always greater than our need. Amen? That's God. When the Lord multiplied the loaves and fishes, 12 basketful left over. And the Lord said to Israel, put blood on the doorposts. Put blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. Exodus 12:7, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house where they eat it. So you see a picture here of the blood on the two doorposts and on the lintel. Now, just because they are people of God, just because they are Israelites, does not mean the angel of death will pass over them because they are also sinners. Are you listening? Come on, people. This blood is not put on the house of the Egyptians. It's put on the house of the people of God. But just because they are Israelites does not mean they don't need the blood. And if you look at the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, you draw a line, you see the cross. Amen. Now drop down Exodus 12, we'll see this about the blood. Now the blood shall be a sign for you. God is talking. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. God did not say, when I see your good family name, I'll pass over you. When I see that you're a good guy, I'll pass over you. When I see that you're trying your best, I'll pass over you. When I see you're well-intentioned, I'll pass over you. No, God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'm telling you, people, that's the whole purpose for Christmas. God has no blood. Man has blood. So God came. God sent his son as a man. So that, born of a virgin, because now scientifically we all know that the fetus has a placenta joined to the mother. And men used to think that the mother shares her blood with the embryo. No. In fact, now they know for a fact that the placenta brings in nourishment from the mother and takes an oxygen and takes away waste. Never is there a time that the mother's blood and the fetus blood mix. So Jesus was born of a virgin. Amen. He never received Mary's blood. Because if he had received Mary's blood is sinful. I know some of you are shocked about that. But let me tell you this. The Bible in Luke chapter 2, Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew rather, talking about Christmas story, it gives us five times this phrase. The young child and the mother. The young child and the mother. The young child and the mother. Five times. It is not the mother and the child. I'll tell you this. Mary was a wonderful lady. But an angel appeared to her. The angel says, you are highly favored among women. Not above women. Among women. Come on. She was chosen to bring forth the Messiah. Hallelujah. I mean, that's an honor, isn't it? But she's not God. Are you listening, people? So that's why the need for the virgin birth, and none of Mary's blood was transferred to Christ. Now we know that the embryo develops its own blood. Its blood type comes from father and mother, the genetic contribution. But Jesus' blood was developed. That blood is sinless. He was born to die. Go back to Luke 2:7 again. She wrapped him and put him in a manger. Now, when I was in Israel, that's one blessing that you have when you go to Israel. Amen. You see things and God speaks to you. I remember I was in Tel Megiddo. And, you know, the guide was telling us this was a tell, you know, many years ago. This king was here, that king was here. There was a battle here. And finally, there'll be a final battle called Armageddon, right? Which is Har Megiddo in that valley down there. And I was looking around at the ruins, you know, this ancient ruins, some of them 3,000 years old. And then I saw a manger. A manger is a feeding trough. And the Bible says, because there was no room for them in the inn, she placed the baby in a manger. Now, all of us, our babies are placed in nice, comfortable mattresses in the hospital bed or whatever at home, right? But the baby was placed in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. Now, manger, look at this picture of manger in Tel Megiddo. This was taken by us because I was there. This is a manger, a feeding trough for the animals. That's where Christ, the baby, was placed. What's that telling you? It's telling you he's the bread of life. It's telling you he's born to die. Because in those days when they bury someone in a stone coffin. You know the empty tomb, which I believe is the genuine one in Jerusalem? All right, let's look at a picture of the empty tomb. Look at this. Right? Do you see a similarity? So when she placed him there, it was a clear picture that he was born to die. He's the only one who said, I lay down my life. No one can take my life from me. I lay it down. Do you know that he came to die?